Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome to Focus Today. I'm your host, Perry Atkinson, and I'm always honored when we have the time to Skype in live from Israel, David Rubin. He's a former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and the author of several books, and including the latest one, Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel, as well as Trump and the Jews, a couple of books there. He's the founder and the president of Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, and this has come full circle. We'll talk to him about that. He has a couple of websites, davidrubinisrael.com and israelchildren.org, and you can go there and check out, but you may want to get a copy of his books as well. David, good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Well, we Israelis are a very resilient people. We go on with our lives. And it doesn't matter if 300 missiles are fired at us in one day by Iran, which is what happened last week, we go forward. We go forward and we do what we have to do, not just to protect our country, but to go on with our lives.
David, I realize there's a lot going on over there. We can unpack some of that. But is the resolve of the citizens to win?
Well, look, the people of Israel, after October 7th, after the massacre, when 1,200 Israeli civilians were either killed, and hundreds more were tortured and raped, beheaded, taken hostage, and there are even some babies that are still in captivity after half a year in the dungeons of Gaza. And that, you know, that's just a savagery that goes way beyond anything that we've seen in this century. So, I point that out because I want people to understand what's really going on. And nonetheless, we Israelis continue to do what we have to do to go on with our lives. But there is a lot of pressure. There's pressure from the world, there's pressure from the Biden administration trying to stop Israel from fighting back.
How are you responding to the fact that this administration is putting so many conditions on your country as if they're in the driver's seat to make the decision on what should be done?
Well, that's what's so upsetting. Look, we know that the United States has influence over this war. We know that the United States has influence on the Security Council and the UN. We know that Israel buys a lot of weaponry from the United States. And as a result of that, that weaponry has been used as leverage against Israel. And, we could examine what the reasons are for that. It seemed like after the trauma that there was some real moral clarity coming out of Washington. But since then, we've seen it rapidly fading away. And I wish that we could see the support for Israel, the political support for Israel that we saw in the early days of this war. And now we're kind of at a crossroads, because after the terror attack, after the attack from Iran, it was way beyond a terror attack. It was just a declaration of war. And we know that we're going to have to go to war with Iran. And we know that we're going to have to finish off the war with Hamas in Gaza. And we also know that we're going to have to confront the Fatah, the Palestinian Authority in Judea and Samaria, which has been supporting all of the terrorism. And of course, we're going to have to get to the head of the octopus, which is Iran. Now, most Israelis are behind this. Most Israelis are supporting it. Most Israelis are not prepared to cave in to the pressure coming out of Washington, to the pressure coming out of the UN, and to the pressure coming from Europe.
That said, do you think Israelis know that the administration does not represent the majority of Americans on this?
Well, I believe that the Israeli government knows that. At least they should know that. And, you know, it's kind of surprising if they don't. But of course, the American people don't have the decision whether to supply Israel.
Right.
You know, they can't make the decision whether to supply Israel with the ammunition that we badly need when we're in the middle of a war. The average person in Wisconsin, the average person in Idaho or in Texas or in Oregon, for that matter, they don't have the ability to say, okay, we're going to continue giving you the ammunition that you need to fight against these horrible enemies. So that's the real issue here, Perry, that we're in the middle of a war. We're trying to do what we know how to do. And we're having at least one hand tied behind our backs as we're trying to do it.
In the meantime, from October 6th comes the aerial attack from Iran over the last couple of days. And thank goodness for the coalition of nations that came to your aid, and America's helping you shoot down these missiles, and the Iron Dome working the way that it has worked. It was a huge success in deterrent. In the meantime, there's some other things that we'd learned from this, and that is a lot of these drones that were launched from Iran failed at ground level. Some failed en route. So there is an indication that their military sophistication may just not be there. What do you think?
Well, what we know is that Iran has 150,000 missiles pointed at Israeli cities. That's what we know. How well they're going to be able to use them in war, that remains to be seen. But yes, we know that we did have very good defense the other day. And we know that there were some countries that supported us, even a couple of Middle Eastern countries that helped out in certain ways. But again, you have to remember, the world, or at least part of the world, loved us on October 7th. And part of the world loved us at the end of the Holocaust. Because they feel bad for us when we're suffering. They feel bad for us when we're being slaughtered. But when Israel starts winning, then all the support seems to go away. And that's the problem here. That is the problem. So, we're going to fight back. We're going to do what we have to do in Lebanon, in Iran, in Gaza, in Judea and Samaria, because most Israelis are demanding it. But, you know, we're going to have to do it on our own. I hope that we'll get some support from Washington, and I hope that we'll get some support from other places, but we're going to have to do it on our own.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has announced there will be a response to Iran. When and what, we don't know yet. But it would appear, David, that response has to be so significant that it would hamper Iran from making another response.
Well, I agree. I've always said that the best defense is a good offense. So, you know, hopefully that's what we're going to do. The best defense is a good offense. And that doesn't just apply to a football game or a basketball game or any other sport. It also is true in war. And that's what we're going to have to do. We don't have a choice.
How close, from your perspective, are you, Israel, from completing the job against Hamas?
Well, look, in Gaza right now, there remain Hamas battalions. There are quite a few in Rafah, which is the main city in the south near the Egyptian border, where, you know, it's basically an untouched city. No Israeli troops have gone in there yet. There have been really no Israeli attacks on Rafah. So that's going to have to happen. And until that happens, then we have no chance of getting back the remaining hostages. Until that happens, we have no chance of eradicating Hamas rule in Gaza. Hamas also has power in central Gaza, to some extent, in northern Gaza, to some extent. They've gone back there since after the pressure from the Biden administration. Israel backed off a bit and withdrew some troops from the north and from the central areas of Gaza. And Hamas went back in and took over control. They don't have real military control, but they've taken over civilian control as a sort of a quasi-government. That's going to have to end. Israel has to take full military control of Gaza. That's the only way that we're going to eradicate Hamas. And it's the only way that we're going to prevent the terrorism from haunting Israel and the Israeli communities in the south near Gaza. That's the only way we're going to stop it. And that military control will have to be for a very, very long time. And until Israel does the right thing, what's right morally and historically, which is to reestablish the Israeli communities in Gaza, until that happens, then we're going to be fighting this battle for a long time, even on a lower scale.
I don't think we understand that you're fighting Hezbollah to the north, Hamas to the south, and Houthis to the east, and then most recently Iran itself. We don't understand this coalition coming at you. We hear bits and pieces of it over here, David. We don't hear the details that you live with every day. I can't imagine the stress and the fatigue that this causes. But is the resolve there? And is the supplies there if you have to go at it alone on those three fronts, four fronts?
Well, as I said, the resolve is definitely there. The resolve is there across the board, across the political spectrum, with perhaps the exception of the Arab citizens of Israel and the far left of Israel. The support is there. The resolve is there. And in terms of the ammunition, well, you know, I hope it'll be there. We have enough to keep going for a while, but we'll see. It's going to reach a critical point if the Biden administration puts a stop on the transferring of ammunition, which we have paid for after all. So that's one thing. In terms of the resolve on an individual level, I think we need to understand. And most Americans who really support Israel and believe Israel is important, and it's important as individuals to stand with Israel. So that's where the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund comes in. And we're doing serious work since October 7th in expanding our programs, healing the trauma of terrorism, and we're getting a lot of support from people around the world. I want to encourage everyone in your area and everyone who sees your program, Perry, I know there are a lot, to go online to israelchildren.org and to see how you can stand with us. Again, that's israelchildren.org.
Yeah, I thank you. I want to emphasize that, folks, because we're going to take a break. We'll come back. I'll have David explain how that organization came into existence from a previous war. But in the meantime, trauma in war and trauma in children is real. So go to israelchildren.org and check it out and support them. Let me take a quick break. We'll be right back with David Rubin.
We'll be back to this week's interview in just a few seconds. In the meantime, we want to let you know that you can watch this interview, plus many more exclusive interviews that happen this week on the Dove's Daily TV and radio show by visiting our website, thedove.us. And while you're there, sign up for our free daily devotional, The Word for You Today. 3 months of daily readings that will connect you with God's Word. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, and honored to have back with us today. We're Skyping him in live. David Rubin's with us, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, author of quite a few books, and one of that you need one to get a copy of is Confronting the Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel, as well as Trump and the Jews. Some pictures of the covers on the book. David has a couple of websites, davidrubinisrael.com and israelchildren.org. This is a very, very important website right now, israelchildren.org. David, give us a quick history of Children Israel and how it came about and why today it obviously is needed more than ever.
Yeah, well, look, Shiloh Israel Children's Fund was started after I was wounded in a terror attack. And over 20 years ago, the terror attack was about 22 years ago, to be exact. My three-year-old son and I were in our car. We were driving back from Jerusalem. We were about halfway home. And suddenly the car was hit with a massive hail of bullets. There were terrorists perched on the side of the road. They were shooting at the car with AK-47 assault rifles. The car went completely dead when the bullets hit. I tried to start the car, doing everything I could to get the car to start. It wasn't starting. Then I saw four bullets whizzing past my eyes, and I couldn't get the car to start. Shifting gears, turning the ignition, whatever I could. Then a bullet crashed into my left leg. Blood started flying all over the place. I turned around to my son, who was 3 years old and sitting in the toddler seat behind me, and I asked him if he was okay. His eyes were staring straight ahead, wide open. His mouth was wide open. He looked like he was trying to scream or to cry, but no sounds were coming out. I figured that he was in shock, and just from the bullets flying, and that he was okay. I could see that he was breathing. So I said, okay, the first thought I had was I have to get out of here. I have to get the car to start. And I turned the ignition again. I shifted gears. I did over and over different steps. And suddenly the car started. And it started as if it had never had a problem starting before. I drove as fast as I could to get away from the terrorists. And to get to the next community up the road where I hoped I could get an ambulance. Well, I finally do get there. Blood was flying out of my leg the whole time, and I was trying to stop it. I wasn't having much success while I was driving. I get to the entrance to that community. I pull up to the front gate. I start shouting for a guard at the gate. You have to understand, every community in Samaria has a big metal gate in the front of it to keep out the car bombers. And I'm shouting, calling, help, get an ambulance. And the guard didn't seem to hear me. So I started screaming at the top of my lungs, ambulance, ambulance, please. And there was a woman on the side of the road. She started screaming even louder. And then everyone who was within sound's reach came running over, including the gas station attendant, who ripped off my shirt. He wrapped up my leg to stop the blood flow. He said, don't worry, I'm also a paramedic. I know what I'm doing. And then at that moment, the ambulance did pull up, and they discovered that my son had been shot in the head, that a bullet had gone into his head where the skull meets with the neck, causing a skull fracture and internal bleeding in the brain. And they got to work on him. They put an oxygen mask on his face and put him on a stretcher in the ambulance and put me also on a stretcher. And they wrapped his head with bandages and took us to the hospital in Jerusalem, where they got to work on us. And they discovered that the bullet that had gone into my son's head and through his neck missed his brainstem by 1 millimeter. So he was saved by the Lord's miracles on that day. It was just, you know, an act of God that defies rational, so-called rational description. And we were just saved on that day from the evil that these terrorists were trying to inflict on us. We both survived. We had several weeks in the hospital. But thank God we both survived and we're alive and well today. But at the end of that attack, I had this vision that I had to do something with this evil and to turn it into good. And that's when I decided, after seeing the trauma that my son was experiencing and seeing how he was dealing with it, that's when I decided to start what would eventually become the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund. And we use music therapy, art therapy, small animals, horses, horseback riding therapy, sports therapy, multi-sensory safe room therapy, horticulture therapy. Mm. And all of these therapies are blended with a faith-based education. And that's what we use to heal the trauma in the children. And I believe that the Children's Fund was created for such a time like this. It was actually an act of God, and was created for such a time like this because God put that vision in me, in order to deal with these issues. So, wow. So everything that we do. People can find out more at our website, israelchildren.org. Okay, that's the website. Okay, it's a new and simple URL. It's israelchildren.org. It's very easy to write down and even to remember, israelchildren.org.
Well, go there, check it out, support them. Now with this war going on, the organization, I can't imagine how busy you are and the needs that you may have to facilitate young people through all this trauma. Just go to israelchildren.org and check it out and support them. Are some of the border towns out there, David, people evacuating?
Well, it was evacuated immediately. The border towns were evacuated immediately when the war broke out, right after the massacre. And that's when the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund received all of these requests from the Israel Ministry of Defense and other sources asking us to help out the evacuees, because the evacuees were moved in an emergency evacuation after the massacre. All the survivors were moved to the center of the country or other parts in the center south of the country. just to get them away from the danger. And we were contacted by the Israeli Ministry of Defense to help out with our therapy programs. And thank God we have 20 years experience dealing with the trauma from terrorism and PTSD in children. So we were prepared. We were prepared in terms of knowing what to do. The only way that we weren't prepared enough is on a budgetary level. And that's why we're reaching out to people and have been reaching out to people to stand with us, because trauma, we don't always find out about right away.
Right.
We know that they were traumatized. We know that those survivors are traumatized. Since then, we've had a lot more requests. We have 90% increase in requests for our treatment. So I want to encourage people to go to israelchildren.org and stand with us.
One last question. Again, thank you for your time. I don't mean this to sound like it's just rhetorical, but I'm assuming now that any talk of a two-state solution is off the table.
Well, your assumption is correct, at least as far as Israel's concerned. Even those in the everyone right of center has been opposed to a two-state solution, has viewed it as a non-starter for many, many years. But now, after the massacre and after the Palestinians, their authority in Ramallah continues to fund terrorism, continues to pay salaries to every terrorist that kills or wounds an Israeli. As long as that's going on, even the moderate left is not in favor of a two-state solution anymore. So you're talking about some 75% of the country that realizes that a two-state solution would be suicidal, and that we have to ignore the pressure coming from the Biden administration or other sources in Washington, and we have to do what's right for Israel.
Wasn't Gaza a so-called two-state solution under a ceasefire?
Well, look, the two-state solution, if you ask your average Arab of the land of Israel, you know, and they like to refer themselves as Palestinians because it gives them a national identity that they never had. But if you ask any of them about two-state solution, they're going to tell you that two-state solution includes Judea and Samaria, which is the biblical heartland of Israel that you see behind me, and Gaza, and those two areas are not contiguous. So if you want to make them contiguous and create some sort of so-called Palestinian state, then you have to cut off Israel in half.
Yeah.
In order to do that. So and they know that. They know that's true, and that's why they continue to insist on it.
So, friends, go to israelchildren.org. That is the website. You could certainly use your help. This came out of terrorist attack, and now here we are today, 22 years later, and an organization that's needed more than ever, especially helping children to deal with all of the pressure and anxiety and PTSD that comes with war. Believe me, knowing David all these years, it'll go right to work. So you can go to israelchildren.org and support them. David, thank you. Please know that you and everyone there remain in our prayers. And I hope you feel that and know that in spite of our administration.
Well, thank you, Perry. I do, and God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.